We're continuing the Shir in Sichoi Saran, Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, paragraph Kuf Zayin, 107. The Gemara says in Megillah, page 13, when it speaks about Queen Esther, the Gemara says she was not exceptionally tall or short, she was beinoinis, she was medium. Rabbi Nazal says that the Gemara over there also, speaking about the background of Esther Amalka, the Gemara says that because of the tznius, the exceptional modesty that Rachel Imenu showed, she was zeicha that from her came forth Shaul HaMelech. We know that Shaul comes from Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin was one of the sons of Rachel Imenu. Because of Rachel's modesty, she was zeicha to have a descendant like Shaul HaMelech, who was also extraordinary in his modesty. The Navi, when it speaks about him, how when he was first appointed as king, the Jews showed disrespect to him, and the Navi says he ignored it. It was his personal nature was extraordinary modesty, which was a heritage that he got from his ancestor, Rachel Imenu. And then the Gemara goes on to say that because of the tznius of Shaul HaMelech, he was zeicha that from him came forth Esther Amalka. So now Rabbi Nazal says, we know that by Rachel Imenu, the Torah refers to her as the smaller one, Rachel Bitcho Haktana. When Yaakov Avinu is speaking to Lavan, his potential father-in-law, and he describes who he wants to marry, he says, I want your daughter, Rachel, the smaller one. So Rachel is called Ketana. By Shaul HaMelech, when the Torah speaks about his height, it says, Mishichmoi ulamalo govoya mikolom, that from his shoulders and up, he was taller than everybody. Rachel is Ketana, Shaul HaMelech is very tall, and therefore, Esther is in between, because she's in between Rachel and Shaul HaMelech. She was influenced and affected by both. This is what Rabbi Nazal said. Obviously, there's much more depth to this, but this is the statement as Rabbi Nazal presents it. The next paragraph, interesting, maybe before we leave this point, this term beinoinis, beinoni, which means medium, mediocre. Most people, when they think about their children, they would love, there are many people who wish their child could be a star, a superstar, great. There are many people, when they give a bracha to a child, they say you should be zeicha to be a gadol hador, should be zeicha to be a leader of a generation, greatness. The Gemara, I believe in Brachas, says that Chana, the mother of Shmuel HaNavi, who waited a long time to have a child, and she suffered tremendously from the waiting and watching her sister who had children, she didn't, and all the other people, and she prayed so, so hard for Hashem to bless her with a child. The Gemara says in her tefillah, she asked Hashem, let me be zeicha that my son should be beinoni. I don't want him to stick out in any way. I don't want him to be bolet, as we say in Hebrew. I want him to be medium, in the middle somewhere. Baruch Hashem, we know that her prayers were very effective, and her son Shmuel HaNavi was zeicha to achieve such a level of greatness that the Torah compares him to the combination of Moshe and Aharon. He was a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was a Kohen like Aaron HaKohen. He had the qualities of both. And the Torah describes him as one of the holiest, most outstanding prophets that we ever had. But in terms of what his mother was looking for, she was concerned that there shouldn't be Ayin Hara. He shouldn't stick out in a way that people will see him and Chas V'Shalom possibly put a negative eye, be envious of him in any way. The term beinonis that we have here. The next paragraph, Kuf Ches, 108. Rabbi Nazal says, it's known that the study of the Zohar HaKadosh is extremely, extremely helpful and beneficial to a person. When he says this term, Yodua, meaning that many of the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Arizal and his students, and later rabbis, the Mekubalim, and the leaders of Hasidus, put tremendous emphasis on learning the Zohar HaKadosh and even reading the words of the Zohar HaKadosh, even if a person doesn't understand what they're reading. Just reading those words, there's an extraordinary holiness there that can elevate and improve and cleanse a person's soul more so than other parts of the Torah. We know that every part of the Torah, every word of the Torah is a mitzvah. The Vilna Gaon emphasizes this, that when a person studies Torah, every word is an independent mitzvah. Whether a person is saying the words or a person is attending a shir, where words are being spoken, how many words could you say in 45 minutes? Thousands! If you'll check the people's records who are attending that shir, thousands of mitzvahs have been added. Every word is a separate mitzvah. But in terms of how it affects the soul of the person, the words of the Zohar HaKadosh, those Aramaic words that are authored by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and were written down by his closest student, Rabbi Abba, those words are mesugol ma'oid ma'oid, extremely, extremely beneficial to the soul of a person. And Rabbeinu Zal said, you should know that studying the Zohar HaKadosh will motivate a person to want to learn all other parts of Torah. It'll inspire the person to want to learn Gemara, Chumash, Navi, Halacha, everything. Rabbeinu Zal said that the phrases, the expressions that are found in the Zohar HaKadosh are very inspiring to make a person want to serve Hashem. Meaning, for example, when the Zohar HaKadosh says, Zakor, how fortunate and lucky is a person who's zoche to put on tefillin daily, or any mitzvah that they speak about, they use that kind of expression, Zakor, fortunate, blessed, is a person who does this. And so too, Chas V'Shalom, when the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about a person committing a sin or doing the wrong thing, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, Vai, Vaylei l'nishmasa, woe is to the soul of a person who chas v'shalom does the wrong thing or doesn't do the right thing. That terminology, those words, the way it's phrased, has a tremendous effect on a person's soul to inspire the person. In the commentary here, Noyam Hasichos, he brings from the Degel Machne Ephraim, who was the uncle of Rabbeinu Zal, a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, who quotes the Zohar HaRakia, one of the students of the Arizal, where he says clearly that the terminology, the phrases of the Zohar HaKadosh are tremendously beneficial to the soul, even if the person does not understand at all what they're saying. Those that are familiar know that especially among Sephardim, in the Sephardic shuls, the traditional Sephardic shuls, there's a custom among the older people, the people that are retired, they don't work, they spend time in shul. I saw this in the United States, in New York when I was there, in the Syrian community. If you would come for Mincha and Maariv, you would see that there were a group of 10, 20 older men, 70, 80, who were in the shul, and they would read the Choykli Yisrael, they would read the portion of the Zohar HaKadosh for every day. And they would read the words with a devotion, with a love, believing and knowing that just reading those words, whether I understand the meaning or not, is a tremendous uplift for the neshama. Naturally, if a person can understand what they're reading, then it's 1,000 times better and more powerful. And so too, in the next paragraph, paragraph Kuftes 109, Rabbeinu Zal says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal sanctified the Aramaic language to such a point that even other things that are written in Aramaic also have a power to inspire a person, to motivate a person to want to be close to Hashem more so than other portions of the Torah. Interesting to note, I remember as a teenager that when I first met Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, and even prior to that, at the age of 11, 12, 13, being in yeshiva, there was always a curiosity about the Zohar HaKadosh. We had heard Kabbalah, secrets about the coming of Moshiach and things like that, and all kinds of secret information that's found in the Zohar HaKadosh and those Sfarim. So we always enjoy peeking into those Sfarim. But after meeting Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, and seeing how often he quoted those Sfarim and how knowledgeable, how completely knowledgeable he was in the Zohar HaKadosh, I once asked one of his students, like, what can I do to be able to understand, to be able to get more familiar with the Zohar HaKadosh? And he asked me at the time, do you say Shnayim Mikra Vecho Targum every week? And unfortunately, the answer was no at that time. Despite learning in yeshivas, certain things aren't necessarily stressed. Unfortunately, in many yeshivas, there isn't that much emphasis on halacha, making sure to cover all the laws of Orach Chaim, which are the basics of Jewish living. A Jew doesn't know how to start a day, how to finish a day, and how to go through the entire day without going through the entire Shulchan Aruch, Orach Chaim. That's the minimum of the minimum. And learning that, a person would see clearly that the halacha is every single Jew is obligated. This is not extra credit. This is not chassidut. This is basic Hebrew law to do the Torah, to review the parsha of the week on a weekly basis, to go through the entire parsha, twice the Lashon Kodesh and once the Targum. From the time that this person mentioned it to me, I started doing it, started making sure not to miss a week of doing Shnayim Mikra Vecho Targum, and I saw that it made an incredible, major, major difference in being able to understand the language of the Zohar HaKadosh and even the language of the Gemara. A large part of the Gemara is Aramaic also, and by getting used to doing the Targum together with the Pasuk and Chumash, so that you start making the associations, you start knowing what these Aramaic words, it can help a person tremendously in becoming familiar with and being able to understand the Zohar HaKadosh. Another, while we're on the topic, a very important piece of information that most people are not aware of, that in the Zohar HaKadosh, at least 75% of it is not Kabbalah. It's halacha, it's stories, inspirational stories, it's beautiful, beautiful things that any and every Jew can learn and understand. The 25% that is Kabbalah, that takes a higher level of knowledge, that takes explanation, that takes a teacher, that takes all the prerequisites that one has for the study of Kabbalah. But again, the vast major part of the Zohar HaKadosh parallels the Gemara and the Medrash in giving us incredible clarity about the laws of the Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah, and also beautiful stories that bring us, give us an incredible connection to the tzaddikim of the past and the present. The next paragraph, Kuf Yud 110, Rabbeinu Zal says, there are many different types of nonsense, foolishness, and confusion that attach themselves to a person's brain at different times, especially bilbulim regarding faith in Hashem, especially confusion and questions and doubts regarding faith in Hashem. And Rabbi Nizal said, through sleep, by sleeping, a person can detach this nonsense, this foolishness, this confusion from their brain. And Rabbeinu Zal said, sleep is especially helpful regarding emunah, faith. Does this mean that when a person is feeling a weakness, a deficiency in faith, they should go to sleep? The answer is not necessarily. We know there's a pasuk in Tehillim where the pasuk says, "Lahagid baboiker chazdecha ve'emunascha baleilos." We speak about Hashem's kindness in the morning, by day, and faith in Hashem at night, in the evening. All of the Sforim, all of the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus explain why and how it is that nighttime, and here when we speak about nighttime, we're referring to the second half of the night, from midnight through the morning, is a time when the Shekhinah, the Holy Spirit of Hashem, goes down to places of Tumah, to Klipos, to be able to search for and find sparks of holiness that can be rescued and elevated. And that's a time when a person goes to sleep, the brain, the thinking process in the person shuts down almost completely. In fact, the Gemara and Zohar Kodesh tell us that when a person goes to sleep, the soul leaves the person. It goes up to heaven to go through a judgment on a nightly basis. The soul is associated with the brain. When we put on tefillin in the morning, we say, Shehaneshomo Shebamoichi, the soul that's in my brain. So during the nighttime, the brain shuts down. We know that daylight, light, is associated with Chachma, Seichel, Moichin. Chochmas Odom Toyer Ponov. The Chochmah of a person lights up his face. Chochmah is referred to as light. Darkness is the absence of Chochmah. When the darkness takes over, when nighttime, that's a time of strengthening and developing and emphasizing the emunah, the faith in Hashem. This is why we begin the night, we go to sleep through Kriya Shema. The avodah before that prepares us for going, for a Jew for going to sleep properly, is the Kriya. What is Shema? Shema is the ultimate declaration of faith in Hashem. This lets me know that this is what I'm about to do now. I'm about to let go of the brain, the seichel, the thinking, and I'm switching into second gear. Second gear is emunah. This is a time, this is the period of day when my emunah takes over, and I want my emunah to be refreshed and renewed for the new day. There's a pasuk, Chadoshim Labekorim, Rabba Emunasechon. New in the morning, we're new. We start off a new day, a new person in the morning, Rabba Emunasechon, with an increase, a whole renewal of faith. The next paragraph, Kufyud Aleph, 111. Rabbeinu Zal quotes a famous pasuk in Mishlei, chapter 19. The pasuk says, "Iveles Odom Tesalef Darkoi," a person's own foolishness perverts and messes up his path. "Val Hashem Yizaf Liboi." And he gets angry at Hashem. "Hashem, why are you doing this to me? Why did you do this to me? Why is this happening to me?" And Hashem says, "Why did I do this? You did this. Your stupidity, your foolishness, your nonsense is what did it to you." Rabbeinu Zal says, this pasuk refers specifically to those people who choose to stay away from tzaddikim. They choose not to come close to and not to bind themselves, to attach themselves to a true tzaddik. And Rabbeinu Zal says, a Jew who does that, who chooses to study Torah, to do mitzvahs, to observe the religion on their own, without the guidance and assistance and connection to the true tzaddik, that person's devotion is like the contortions that a person makes when he's trying to imitate somebody else. You have someone who's doing something and someone else who's imitating them. Lahavdil, person goes to the zoo, We know that apes, the word ape means to imitate somebody, to ape someone, means to imitate. And we know that sometimes you'll actually see this, that the apes in the zoo, when they're looking through the bars and they're looking at the people, they'll see a person scratching his head and you'll see the ape scratch his head. Or they'll see other things and they'll mimic it. Now, a person's looking at these two and saying, again, there were outstanding scholars like Darwin who looked at that and said, that's grandpa. That's my grandfather. That's my grandmother. I came from an ape. And he probably did. The people that believe in that, we can safely assume that they come from a strain of humanity that does come from apes. But for the rest of us, the other 98% of humanity who doesn't come from apes, Rabbi Nizal says here that a Jew who's trying to observe Yiddishkeit and leaving out this most critical piece of the puzzle, the concept of coming close to and connecting with and attaching oneself to a true tzaddik and absorbing his advice, his direction, that person's avodas Hashem is like an ape. It's like an ape compared to a human being. And it's about that person that the pasuk says, Iveles Odom Tesalev Darkoi. His own foolishness, his own folly is what perverts his path. Meaning that as a result of this Iveles, as a result of this terrible mistake, his path is perverted. And why? Why is it? Rabbeinu Zal says the wording in the pasuk is V'al Hashem Yizaf Liboy. Now we know in Hebrew the word El means two. Al sometimes is used to mean two, but Al usually means above. V'al Hashem and above Hashem Yizaf Liboy. This person shows anger. What's above Hashem? The answer is, the Gemara says in Moed Katan, page 16, Hashem is the boss. He's on top. Who's on top of him, the Gemara says? Hashem says, me, Moshe Elbi, who rules over me? Who is my boss? The Gemara says, Tzaddik. The Tzaddik rules over Hashem. The Gemara quotes the pasuk, Tzaddik Moishel Beyiras Elokim. The Tzaddik rules over Hashem. Hashem says, I issue a decree, and the Tzaddik overrules and overrides my decree. So here the pasuk says, those people whose paths are foolish, apes, mimicking, you know why? Because the Al Hashem, Al Hashem represents the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is called Al Hashem Yizaf Liboy. He opposes the tzaddik. He doesn't come close to the tzaddik. And as a result of that, his service of Hashem is empty. Rabbi Nizal uses the words, Ein mamish ba'avoida. His service of Hashem is meaningless. It's lacking power. It's lacking effectiveness. Because there is no real substance to a person's service of Hashem other than through the true tzaddik. As Rabbi Nizal speaks about this in other places, we know that Rabbi Nosson Zal, towards the end of Likutei Halachos, in Chosh Mishpot, Hilchos Shluchim, Halacha Hei, there's a part there that's called Hilchos Oino. In our learning here, we covered this not long ago, a few months ago, we studied that halacha at the end of Chosh Mishpot Chelek Aleph, where it speaks about business, people in business, that if you fool a person overprices or undercharges somebody in business, the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch differentiate between a sixth, less than a sixth, and more than a sixth. And Rav Nosson Zal over there in Likutei Halachos expounded on it and showed that this refers to three types of relationships with the tzaddik. Six is the number associated with tzaddik. Six times Hashem's name, Yudke Vovke, is Bigematria Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik, and six represents the Midah of Yesoid, which is Tzadik. And Rav Nosson Zal there spoke about people who have a partial connection to the Tzadik. That's a certain, there are people who have no connection at all to the tzaddik. But I'm sorry, there are people who have a very good connection to the tzaddik. There are people who have partial connection, but they don't go all the way. There are people who are not connected to the tzaddik, but they don't oppose the tzaddik in any way. And then there are the people who oppose the tzaddik. They're against the tzaddik. And Rav Nosson Zal was emphatic there, based on Rabbeinu Zal's words, that a person who opposes the tzaddik, his avoda, his service of Hashem, goes nowhere. Just like Korach and his followers, who the Torah says the ground opened up and swallowed them up. What happened? For all of their efforts came to naught, nothingness. And here Rabbeinu Zal makes this statement, ki ein mamesh ba'avoda, ki al yedei hatzadik u'amiti. There's no real substance to a person's service of Hashem other than through the true tzaddik. It reminds me of a thought. When people learn self-defense, they learn there's a concept. People get into a fight, people get into an argument, the person slaps someone, person punches someone. There's a person can actually punch someone and not win the fight. The other person can come back and break his head or tear him to pieces after having been punched. There's a way to punch. When a person studies self-defense, they study martial arts, things like that, they're taught how to make a fist, and they're taught how to make a fist in such a way where that person can break bricks, cinder blocks. They can punch through cinder blocks, they can punch through a wall, and if that person punches somebody, it'll break bones. At least it'll break bones. If they punch the person in the solar plexus or in the head, the person is dead. One punch is a knockout punch completely. This is a similar concept in a sense. A person's learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, they're punching. But it has nowhere near the effectiveness as when the person is zocheh to be mekurev and mekusher to the true tzaddik. We know Rabbeinu Zal gives the example in Likut Imran that the whole foundation of Yiddishkeit, the first letter in the Torah, is the letter Beis of Bereshis, the first letter in the Sefer Torah, which is written as a large Beis, if you look in a Sefer Torah. And all the commentaries tell us that that's called Beis Rabosi, the large Beis, which refers to Bayis Rabosi, the great house, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. That the ultimate purpose, the Sifrei Kabbalah say, the reason why Hashem made the creation and everything is because He wanted to have a residence batachtoinim. Hashem wanted to have a place, a residence. He wanted to set up shop, establish residence in the lower places. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to make the Mishkan, He said, "Va'asu li mikdash v'shochanti b'soicham." Prepare for me a residence, a home, and I will exist. I will live among you. I'll be with you. I'll be close to you. The Torah tells us that when it came to building the Mishkan, when it came to making the Mishkan, every Jew was welcome to contribute, to donate to it. Every Jew participated. One Jew only was authorized and qualified to put it together, to build it, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah says everyone was invited. V'yikhu li truma, me'es kol ish ashe yudvenu liboy. Accept contributions and donations from anyone who has a generous spirit, anyone who wants to give. But it says, Vayoviyu ha-mishkan el Moshe. They brought the Mishkan to Moshe, and the Zohar HaKadosh says very clearly, only Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to put the pieces together, how to form it to make this Mishkan, this magic Mishkan, which corresponded in shape and form to the creation. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Tziura Damashkan HaKetzuri Duv Debreishis, that a person who knew the secrets of the Mishkan could see all the secrets of creation in how every part of the Mishkan was formatted and designed and everything. So too, Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal emphasize, all of our mitzvahs, every mitzvah we do, every word of Torah that we study, every word of tefillah that we say, is ingredients for the Mishkan. It's building blocks, it's windows, it's bricks, it's glass, it's the one who's qualified to put it together is the tzaddik. If a person believes in the tzaddik, if a person does whatever they can to come close to the tzaddik and to attach themselves to the tzaddik, then their contribution will be included in the Mishkan as part of it. If not, their contribution, they generate these ingredients, it doesn't become part of the Mishkan. The Pasuk says, Vayaviu HaMishkan El Moshe. It must be brought to the tzaddik in order for it to be included in this holiness. Paragraph Kuf Yud Beis 112. Rabbi Nazal says, it's written that if the Torah were written completely in order, then it would be possible for us to be able to know the punishment and reward for every single mitzvah and aveira, every positive commandment and negative commandment. However, we know in fact, the Gemara tells us, Ein mukdam amuchar b'Torah, that Hashem intentionally designed the Torah in such a way that it's not in perfect order, so that it's not so clear and obvious to us what the reward and punishment for each mitzvah and aveira is. And therefore the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, don't try to figure out, don't try to calculate which mitzvah is bigger, but do them all. Hevizor b'mitzvah kala b'chamura. Be careful to do the what seem to be the lighter mitzvahs, just as much as you are to do the stricter mitzvahs. Because you don't know the reward. Sometimes something that to you could look like a small thing, and in Hashem's eyes, it's incredibly great. We know the example when it comes to charity, the story about Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev Zal, where one of the wealthy people in his community came to him on Erev Yom Kippur, and he wanted to show him a list. Rabbi, I want you to know that Baruch Hashem, one of the things that helps for tshuva, that I hope will help the whole community to be judged favorably by Hashem, is charity. This is my accountability for the past year. These are the charities I gave the past year. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev sat over the list. He went over and he said, no, 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 yes. No, no, meaning with this one, you weren't matzliach. This wasn't a real charity. This one was a home run. This one was good, good, good. A tzaddik, just like Lahavdil, a person goes to invest their money in a materialistic way, they go to an investment advisor, to a consultant who's very knowledgeable, knowing where to put it. Lahavdil Baruchnius, the true tzaddikim, the true Talmidei Chachamim, know to guide a person where their investment will bring the highest dividends, the greatest rewards. Now, Rabbi Nisal goes on to say, there is a particular sin where the punishment for that sin is that the person becomes in debt. Always. The person cannot get out of debt. No matter what they'll do, nothing will help. They'll be stuck in this quagmire of debt. And Rabbi Nazal says sometimes the sin can be so powerful that not only does it push the person who did the sin into debt, but it can also cause other people to go into debt. And Rabbi Nazal says, therefore, there are times when many, many people go into debt. And this is because of that particular sin which has become prevalent in the world. And that's what causes this kind of situation where everybody is borrowing the good old credit card and people get statements, you owe this much. Again, people getting bills from all kinds of places, how much they owe. They're indebted all over the place. And I mentioned that I had the incredible privilege of watching my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, who not only did not allow himself to get into debt in general, to borrow money for furnishings or anything else, just about ever, but even things that people sort of take for granted, and they assume that everybody uses electricity for an entire month, and they're building up a minus. And at the end of the month, you get a bill from the company, you owe us $300, or 300 shekel, or $3,000. Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, didn't even want that. The utilities, the basic utilities that all of us pay for our homes, electric, gas, water, at the beginning of the year, he'd send this one $500, this one $500, this one $500, and every month he would get an accounting, you have a credit of $350. You have a credit now of $200. And when he saw it going low, send him another $500. This accomplished two things. Number one, and we're not talking about a millionaire, we're talking about a person who didn't have a bank account. Who didn't have money in the bank, he didn't have a bank account, period. He operated literally from hand to mouth. But Rabbeinu Zal once made a statement, abissel gelebt und schen gelebt, that a person can live a little, but live nice, live beautiful. This is a level of living nice where everybody knows that every month you get three or four envelopes in the mail where they're telling you that you owe them. He would get those envelopes and tear it up. He knew that for 2-3 months, the envelope was just telling him how much they owed him, not how much he owed them. So number one, it saved time of having to pay bills on a monthly basis. And number two, it's living richer than the multimillionaires. It's a person living with a level, going to sleep at night knowing, I don't know anybody. No one has a debt notice against me. Now, Rabbeinu Zal says here, that the solution for this problem called debt is for a person to do tshuva on a general level, a general type of tshuva, and to plead with Hashem, to beg Hashem to save me from this sin, from the sin whose penalty is going into debt, and to express a general regret for anything I might have done that led me to commit this particular sin. Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say, the time for a person to do this tshuva, for this sin, is when a person's in a state of moichin de gadlus, when a person's feeling good about themselves, they're in a good mood, they're high. Moichin de gadlus literally means expanded consciousness. When a person is not feeling tight, depressed, low, but rather on the contrary, he's feeling high, confident, positive, that's the time to do tshuva for this. Why? Rabbeinu Zal explains. Because the concept of moichin de katnus, the concept of constricted consciousness, when a person is down, when they're lacking in self-confidence, when they're feeling weak, that's synonymous with debt. Why? What's the connection? The Gemara says in Kiddushin, page 49, that 10 levels of sleep were sent down to the world. 9 of them were taken by slaves, servants, slaves. They took 9/10 of sleep. Slaves are lazy, usually. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Sleep, we know, is a state of moichin de katnus, constricted consciousness. When a person is sleeping, 99% of the brain is shut down. That's called moichin de katnus, constricted consciousness. And sleep, we just said, is associated with eved. Another word for eved, a slave, is a person who's in debt. The pasuk says in Mishlei chapter 22, Eved loive leish malve, that a borrower is a slave to the lender. He always feels indebted, ingratiated to the lender. So eved is associated with sleep. And Eved is associated with debt. And Eved is a state of Moichin de Katnus, sleep is constricted consciousness. Therefore, Rabbein Azal says, when a person's in a state of Moichin de Gadlus, the opposite of this, when a person's happy and they're feeling good about themselves, they're feeling positive, that's a time to grab Hashem Kaviyachal and to try to do tshuva, to ask Hashem to forgive me for any sin I might have committed, especially the sin, the type of sin that leads a person to go into debt. Now, interesting, Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, Chosh Mishpat, Hilchos Gevias Choyv Meyesoimim, Halacha Beis, where it speaks about collecting a debt from orphans, Rav Nosson Zal there touches on this paragraph, and he tells us that even though Rabbein Azal did not reveal, he didn't spell out which sin it is that causes this, that leads a person to debt, we know that if you look in the Chumash, in the beginning of creation, when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, the punishment was Be'itzavoin Toichalena, that you're earning, you're going to struggle to earn a livelihood. And Rav Nosson Zal says that Be'itzavon means depression. Be'itzavon Atzvus is another form of Moichin de Katnus. Atzvus is a person in debt. When a person's in debt, they have this depression, this constricted consciousness, this feeling of being a servant, a slave. I'm not my own person. Somebody else owns me. They have a lien on my house. They have a lien on my this, a lien on my that. That's this concept of this avdus. So Rav Nosson Zal says that the pigama, the Eitz Hadas, is obviously what led Klal Yisrael, the world and Klal Yisrael, to go into this problem of debt. And the solution is to do tshuva for the Eitz Hadas. Everything that's included in the Pigam of the Eitz Hadas. The concept of eating properly and all the other things that are associated with the Eitz Hadas are all the tshuva for this particular problem. One more short item. Kuf Yud Gimel 113. Rabbein Azal says that there's an expression that people say that if a person, if Hashem, wants to make a person into a fool, what does he do? He takes his wife. Hashem takes away the person's wife. And when a person, chas v'shem, loses his wife, then he's a fool. Rabbein Azal says, what's the connection? We know that the Torah says in Mishlei, chapter 12, that a wife, a good wife, Eishes Chayil Ateres Baalo. The woman of valor, a good wife, a good woman, is the crown on her husband's head. She's referred to as a crown, a Torah. When she dies, Chas V'Shalom, there's a pasuk in Eicha, chapter 5, where the pasuk says, Nafla Ateres Roishenu. The crown of our head has fallen, has been removed. The first letters of Nafla Ateres Roshenu spell the word Nar. Nar means a fool. And again, this tells us that when a person is zoichet to have the right kind of wife, she leads him to a moichin de gadlus, to a simcha, a happiness. The Gemara says, Hashori b'lo isha, shori b'lo simcha. A person who is living without a wife is living without happiness. What is happiness? Happiness is a crown on a person's head. There's a pasuk, v'simchas oilam al roisham. Eternal happiness on their heads. Note the word al, not in their heads, but on their heads. Simcha is called a crown on the person's head. When a person has the right kind of wife, he's happy. He has this moichin de gadlus. He can think clearly. He can make good, healthy decisions. Chas v'shalom lo aleinu, when a person loses the wife, or chas v'shalom, when a person doesn't have the right kind of wife, then it's nafla ateres roshenu. the person's in a state of constricted consciousness. They're not thinking clearly. They're not operating with a full deck, with a full moyach. Shem should protect us from this tragedy of losing one's wife, and all those that need to get married should be zeicher to find their true zivugim, get married, build bayis neman b'Yisrael. So we should be zeicher to have the crown on our heads restored, and be zeicher to have the crown of Klal Yisrael restored with the coming of Moshiach, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, Meher Yameinu, Amen.
Amen.